Hello, friends, and welcome back to Psalms. Psalm 111 is an acrostic, meaning that each line begins with a sequential letter of the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, like always be careful, don't eat fried goo. The difference here is that the letters are Hebrew and they open each line, not each word. Also, there's no fried goo. The point is, the structure suggests wisdom worth memorizing. And in Psalm 112, we will find precisely the same structure, an acrostic with 8 couplets and 2 triplets for 22 Hebrew letters. Same structure, different topic. So let's begin at verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. We begin with hallelujah, praise the Lord. I will extol. The Hebrew word literally means throw, like throwing your hands open toward God to give him the credit and praise he is due. And the setting is the council of the upright. They will hear. They will listen. Verse 2, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. God's works are the primary subject of the first half of the psalm and the primary cause for praise. His works are great. They are pondered. I like that word. And notice who ponders. All who delight in them. To delight is to get caught up in wonder, like staring into the intricacies of a flower as it lifts your heart and stretches your mind to ponder God's masterful design in every corner of creation. Ponder and delight. Verse 3, glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. Now there's a statement worth pondering. Previously, we considered how his love endures. Now, his righteousness, the rightness of his character and his actions, it endures. Just as Jesus was tested and tempted in the desert, but endured, the Lord never compromises his character, never takes a moral shortcut. Through every trial and struggle and all the twisted junk that mankind puts this world through, his righteousness endures forever. That's another key word here. On to verse 4. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Remembered. We see God's wonders, and they stay with us. As we ponder his works, we also see his nature, full of grace and compassion. In verse 5, he provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Here in the final verse of the first half, we turn to God's goodness toward his people, those who fear him. Fear as in deep and heartfelt respect. For them, God provides. That fear of God will also tie together this psalm with the next. And the last line presents the central idea. He remembers his covenant. See, this psalm is not simply a collection of all the goodnesses of God, nor is it a review of his character to memorize. These are reasons to put your trust in God. He has made a covenant with his people, and he will absolutely be faithful to it, not for a season, but forever. So trust him. Verse 6, he has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. That land was part of the covenant. It was complicated by the fact that the Canaanites were in the land, and God's mercy allowed 400 years of patience with the sin of the Canaanites. Yet in all of that, God worked in faithfulness to his covenant and justice toward all peoples. That's why verse 7 says, the works of his hands are faithful and just. Life is endlessly complicated. Yet through it all, we see God's faithfulness and justice. And 1 John uses those same two words to remind us that God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. These are not just idealistic words that we set our hopes in. This is the proven character of the Lord. Now look carefully at the second half of verse 7. All his precepts are trustworthy. Now those precepts are God's rules and guidelines for life, and they are the primary focus of the psalm's second half. Every craft has a set of precepts that guide the artist or worker as they learn their craft. Master trains apprentice in a set of precepts, not to limit, but to equip. Before I was a Bible teacher, I was an aerospace engineer. I well remember my first physics class when Mr. Owen taught us the basic laws and precepts of gravity. And that very first time when we had to predict where a ball rolling off the table would hit the ground. We used the laws, ran the calculations, marked the spot, and started the test. When that ball hit dead center, I was hooked. Years later, it was those same precepts that guided our team when we sent a satellite to orbit Mars, and they worked. Look again at verse 7. All his precepts are trustworthy. Life is a complex craft like no other. It is many crafts, and the master craftsman has established a set of precepts that govern relationships, morals, wisdom, maturity, family, business, health. Now, we shouldn't be simplistic about this. Physics provided precise equations to predict the ball drop, but real life is both art and science with infinite complexity. Yet for all of it, God provides precepts. Some are moral laws and commandments to obey. Others are wise proverbs and sayings to apply, while others still are covenant promises and prophecies to trust, all captured here in God's word. The lesson here is that if you have that covenant, you should read God's precepts the way an engineer reads the laws of science, the way an architect reads the rules of design. These work. I can build my life on the knowledge that these precepts will hold. In verse 8, they are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. There's that word again, forever. Four times in just 10 verses. It is the eternal nature of God's precepts that makes them worthy of our trust. Think about it. Consider your craft or one that you're familiar with. I'm sure there are trends and fads, and those have their value, and they always sell books. And of course, there are man-made traditions, also important, but breakable when necessary. But the masters of the craft abide by a set of precepts that never fail. Now consider the sheer wonder that we find in this book, the Bible. Just take the book of Proverbs. I have many times used Proverbs in the discipleship process with young men facing the complex challenges of adulthood. And the older I get, the more I find the wisdom in Proverbs to be trustworthy. Every now and then, it strikes me, this book is 3,000 years old. 3 millennia. Astounding. His precepts are established forever and ever. Verse 9. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The last forever of the psalm is for God's covenant. The Lord provided us a redemption covenant, a relationship with God built on his promises, in which we are rescued and redeemed, made right again. And we can trust in that. We can build our lives on it. So where do we begin? Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mark this one. It is perhaps the central precept of the wisdom books. Four times in the most critical locations, the wisdom books repeat this concept. Proverbs 1:7, 9:10, Job 28:28, and right here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning as in foundation stone. You can start learning wisdom without the fear of God, but you're building on sand. Step 1, fear God. Respect. Know that he is God and you are not. Know that his ways are higher and better. That foundation supports everything. Step 2, learn his precepts. Trust them. abide your life and align your decisions with them. They work. Back in verse 10, all who follow his precepts have good understanding. In other words, the people who live that way get it. And as we move into Psalm 112, they will become the focus, those who fear the Lord. And the two psalms will work together like two characters in a musical on each side of the stage, following the same rhythm and pattern. The faithfulness of the Lord in 111 and those who fear the Lord in 112 will line up in beautiful parody and harmony. The character and works of the Lord establish the character and blessing of those who trust him. Yet all the praise goes to him. As we close out in verse 10, to him belongs eternal praise.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.